I got a message here from a bus driver who says that drivers report for duty to a supervisor. And if the supervisor says to you, I don't have a bus to give you, then you go and wait somewhere where he can see you until he gets a bus for you. Sometimes you wait up to 4 hours before you get one. But you're still being paid. That is the BWU's agreement. So that's a response from a driver who put my query to rest. Brass Tacks.
Yes,
you're with me still. Yes, sir. Tell me.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, you know what is wrong with Barbados? Barbados get my easy everything. They don't want to make no effort to improve nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil, Carnival, as we whatever you call it, Samba thing, is massive in comparison to the whole Caribbean. You agree with that?
Yes, sir. And they, as I said, they have training. They pay people well. And the creativity is astounding. I mean, we talk a lot about the naked breast, but that's only a piece of it. The rest of it is brilliant.
We're getting close to that now.
Last year I saw a lady with nothing at all. Everything was paint.
What I try to explain is that I hear people talking about training people to be steel benders. Dennis, you don't train anybody in Barbados to be no steel bender anymore. Barbados, with the blessing that God give me, have massive benders all over Barbados. Could bend any kind of steel in any kind of form. They need to be trained no more. They could bend any kind of wire, any kind of thing, any kind of hole. But you know something, Dennis? Nobody send them away to see new techniques, new equipment for doing the bending. We buy everything. We don't want to learn to. We don't want to start making anything here. You see all these sprays and things that's used in crop over?
Mm-hmm.
All imported, Dennis.
Yeah, I know.
Don't you think we got two big paint companies here, but you know they should be able to make some of these sprays? What's so magical about doing? About doing aerosols or aerosol cans?
Well, we certainly have a place in Barbados that make bug sprays, so I suppose they could make other sprays too. I don't know. We ain't got places that make big one or something up in Christchurch that make sprays, aerosols.
Dennis,
yes, sir.
If the first man that make a motor car is to come and see it now,
he wouldn't know what it is.
A big car.
He wouldn't know what it is.
Right. Now, what I'm saying is, Dennis, the problem in Barbados is that we are investing heavily in one sector, and we're not giving opportunities to no other sector. With the kind of money that invested that crop up is generating now, a lot of these things should be manufactured in Barbados, not just making a panty to fit a woman and a costume that you could copy from someplace. You've got to copy, but you've got to improve on your copying.
So I got to ask you this question. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah.
Some years ago, right?
Yeah.
Somebody in Barbados, I think it was Simpson Motors or somebody associated with them. If it was not Simpson Motors, my apologies, Simpson Motors. Somebody cut a Suzuki Swift and stretched it into a limousine, two of them.
That's right.
It was done here in Barbados.
Yeah. They look real good too, but that one.
Well, exactly. Now, there was also a guy in Trinidad who made a fiberglass dune buggy, beach buggy. And somebody in Barbados wanted to make the fiberglass bodies here, import the engines and put in it. What happened to that? There were a couple of them on the road and then they went boom. You know, beach buggies were a big thing at one point. All them cars that we cut in to make mokes, we can make mini mokes in Barbados and export them up and down the Caribbean.
Dennis,
we got them people sitting down there so in Shop Hill who could do it.
Dennis, the problem in this country is that we have superb talent, but there has no assistance from financial sectors to advance their talent. That is the problem. And unless we tell me why all this money coming, all this foreign exchange going out to bring things for crop over, when a lot of it can stop here if we would just invest a little bit to move some of these sharp, brilliant people we have that didn't crop over. But we don't do that. We don't send them. But how much people, apart from people who want to jump, go to Brazil and see how much of our technical people we send to Brazil to watch how things are made and done? We don't do that.
I don't think so. I don't know.
You see the antiquing on furniture in Barbados, Dennis?
Yeah.
I went to Venezuela and I saw this wrought iron stood down pretty gold and black and copper and thing. Well, I didn't know nothing about that. Wiped by the dust and brought back the dust.
It.
And look all over Barbados now, everybody could antique. If you don't expose your people and let them go and see what's happened outside, you believe they're going to develop here?
Well, they'll tell you that there's the internet and they could go on it and find it.
They're a joke, Dennis. As a matter of
I sure they disagreed with you, right? I sure they disagreed with you, right?
Yeah.
So look, there's nothing quite like seeing, touching, feeling, knowing it. Yes, you get certain images on screen, and yes, people could give you three dimension, and you could sit and buy an app and change your whole room and paint it without doing anything, right? But until you actually take up a paintbrush and try putting paint on the wall, you really know what painting is. You really know what painting is.
I would like to ask to see the government of Barbados invest more in the technicians that is in Kropova. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They've destroyed all, I don't mean them, no, I'm not talking about this government, but all of them combined as a new one, so I can't blame this for nothing, have destroyed the talent of this country for tourism. And you got a massive thing called Kropova, and no serious investment in the technicians are put there, and it need to look at carefully.
Sir, and we now export out of Barbados people who do sound, lighting, stage management, concert management, leave Barbados and go up and down the islands working. So, and we have young producers who produce music for artists up and down the region. So it means that we have an industry. We just don't know, as usual, how to make the best of it and how to maximize the young talent.
You have to deal with practical thinkers to move things forward, Dennis.
Yeah.
You see entertainers in Barbados, the girls and boys that can sing so good.
And dance.
Calypso. Listen, you got Elvis Tricker, John King. I know he's busy now. And the Honorable Minister John King. You got Gabby. You got Red Plastic Bag. You got a whole, I can't remember all of them. So the ones I don't remember, don't get vexed with me. I just can't remember all, but I know they're telling you all. You know nobody has yet sit down yet and tell them, but listen, we want you to write for these young talented singers.
Well, Gabby does.
Right, I ain't talking about songs.
Songs, okay, okay.
Because you cannot generate wealth in entertainment unless the songs that you sing is the ones that are new, you know. You can take a man's song and sing it, don't care how good you want to sing it, but ain't going international. Very seldom it happen. But what I'm saying, we have so much young, brilliant singers in this country that if we could get the administration, these people, the Gabbians, or the right songs, not calypsos, no, for them to compete in the international market, do you understand what we will do? You go to these calypso tents and hear some of these people singing. I mean, these be superb singers. But all they can sing is calypso. You think that's all they have to sing, I should say.
Well, that's what gives them the money. That's what gives them the money and the $10,000 and $15,000 and the $100,000 car.
But that is where the experts that can do writing should come in. You remember how this Caribbean come?
Caribbean Song Contest, that was excellent, and we shut it down. Yeah,
I do not
fall apart.
Yet, for the love of me, how do I get shut down?
But you want to hear something else that's amazing, sir?
Yeah.
Where the recordings from all those years? Where the video presentations from all those years? Where are the songs, the winning songs from all those years? Have we marketed them? Have we done anything with them? Have we brushed them up? John King and Alison Hines doing Hold You in a Song with instrumentals. I mean, with instrumentals. But I mean, come on. So look, the problem again, so I will again say, our problem is we do not see culture and entertainment as enterprise, as money-making venture. It ain't got a door. It ain't got a glass case. It ain't got a girl sitting down answering the phone and pretty people walking about. So it's not a business. So there are too many people who don't understand the business of the business they're in. So you have people who record songs and they don't have their own recording. They don't keep their own recording. There are people who would send a CD to the radio station or send you a MP3 file.
Yeah.
And they don't tell you who the producer is. They don't tell you who the writer is. They don't tell you who playing the music behind it.
No.
They don't tell you who's the producer. And then they want to make money from it. You know they plan to make money from it? Have their friends send you WhatsApp messages all day long saying, play Jump Up and Kiss Me by iBoy. Please play Jump Up and Kiss Me by iBoy. Please play Jump Up. And no matter what you're doing, you know, you could be in the middle of death announcements. Play Jump Up and Kiss Me by iBoy. Because that's how they plan to get him on the radio. So that everybody can know him. And then when he ain't get any money, and you sit down here and you ask him, so you're a member of CostCap? What is that? You registered as an artist? What is that? So you plan to get money? Well, they're big and popular upon the radio, and they're gaining fits. So Mr. that's Sanders, how we treat entertainment in Barbados in 2018.
We treat everything so as that tourism. You remember they had a song, called "Who Let the Dogs Out?"
Whoa, that went in the U.S. For a thing.
Don't you imagine something as foolish as that, but went international, viral? I mean, the greatest song must be make real money. What that could happen here too?
So, and Arrow Hot 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 was never entered in any contest, and it get played by all kind of people. It get played in all sorts of language. It get played to people who don't even know English. I tell you, they got country and western version with people doing square dancing with violins and things. I nearly fall off my chair when I hear
it. You know, Ragga Ragga too. International hit, oh, damn, you know.
So I went to the Bahamas and heard it in 5 different languages and called Mark and tell him, and Mark didn't know. And back then, no, neither.
We are not investing the right way. You see, the big countries get away with murder because there's so much people that they will find somebody to do it. In Barbados, because we are small, we produce a high-class talent in almost every area. And nobody is financing them
the
to
development,
put them poverty in
the development. So I will say again, somebody sent me a message earlier telling me stop giving away business ideas, but you can't hold everything, right? Sometimes you have to throw something up in the air and it may stick.
Mr. Johnson, they used to hold it. If you don't got the opportunity to invest in it, expose it.
Expose it, and somebody will take it.
And then remember that as your ideas and bring
Mr. Chance
and put
that. I hand me a little pension.
or
a glass of water when I need one.
Right.
So look.
I'm going to make $50 million. So look, Johnson, hold on, but it's $500,000 because I know you give me that idea.
I think we need to look at the whole business of production of carnivals as a business opportunity for our people. The same way we have our producers, our music producers going from one island to the other and producing music for various artists, and artists coming here to record music, we could do the same thing with costume design. We used to use it with wire bending. A group from Grenada, I think, came to... Person tell me again, keep my ideas, hold the idea and a word I cannot use on the radio. Anyway, yeah, I could use that. Look, yeah. The same way, a group of Grenadians came to Barbados or coming to Barbados to do something a couple of weekends from now, and they want to know where they could rent a pan or rent pans to do a presentation.
Yeah.
Now, how would you answer that person if they ask you, where in Barbados can I get a couple of steel pans to rent for a presentation?
You know where to tell them?
Precisely. I can tell them where to get a car. I can tell them where to catch a bus. I can tell them where to rent an apartment. But how to rent a pan so you can put on a cultural presentation? Dumb.
It's a serious thing.
We don't get the business.
Now, Mr. Johnson, I want to leave you with this here because I don't want to take advantage. I mean, on this crop over thing,
we
I bring
talk
some ideas, you'll be frightened. Listen, I want to say to all Barbadians, I don't care if they're white, black, pink, or Jews, but I know that the white people and the Indians are already doing it, but black people don't. I want families, if you've got 5 and 6 brothers, 2 and 3 brothers, you've got 3 and 4 cousins or something, that group got to come together and sit down and say, listen, we only got pennies and cents, but if we put our pennies and cents together, we can move into millions.
Mm-hmm.
They have to believe that because it's true.
Yep. Yep.
I have 3 brothers. I have 3 sons.
Mm-hmm.
I have a peripheral of women in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you that within them, there's at least 50 of us that are really brilliant.
Yeah.
We don't sit down and discuss the development. Mm-hmm. And that is happening throughout the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to find somewhere to get our people to understand that your future depends on the family that God gave you. And talented families must come together to develop for the future of the race.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Johnson, that is something we have to start to develop. You know, one mistake about this program is that you're going to have to set up, so you or whoever's in charge, say, maybe you bring in one person, a NASA, sometimes somebody, and or two, and just sit down and discuss for that hour development of Barbados, not going to camp on the phone and hustling and you don't want to hug it because other people want to talk and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I am convinced that if we do that, Mr. Johnson, we would turn around this country overnight. Mainly the prime minister of this country talk about giving money to the people on the block. She cannot do that. They will get more money than she could give if she would sit down with people like me. Let me tell her how to turn them that money into millions for the people, and at the same time, she don't want to lose a cent. It's easy to do, Mr. Johnson, because it got to be done. So I was talking to one of the other night, and they tell me I better talk to Medics. And I can talk to him. The people on the block are some of the most brilliant minds on the block.
But they're being not put to productive use.
Right. So we got to find a way now to make them highly productive, and easy to do. Giving them the money ain't gonna be the answer. They need to know what products they could deal with, and you bring the products and give them, let them go and distribute the products, tell them what to do with the light, bring back the money that you charge them, and keep all the rest. So if you give the guy, every person he likes selling bicycles, you don't give him no money to buy no bicycles. No, you set up a massive warehouse with all the parts and the various things that people want, and you tell him what kind of bicycles you want to sell, what type of brand. You bring them in and you say, okay, this is 5 bicycles. No money, go along. The money that you got, that when you bring back $100 for these 5 bicycles. Which means that you would have spent $80 and you make a $20 on the bicycle. That's the body who put the government now. So the man go, he can sell bicycles for $1 million. I don't care what you sell them for. But I know this, that when he want more bicycles, since he sell what he have, he have to bring
some money. Some more.
You understand?
Yeah.
And you will see that would do much better than giving them cash. It will never work, Mr. Johnson.
Fair enough,
but
sir.
We need to talk. We need, I can say this as a goal. Barbados need to put practical thinkers with the academics. And as long as they keep the division between practical thinkers with the academics, we are going to have this problem all the time. You are not a monkey man, Mr. Johnson. You are one of the most brilliant minds in this country. You don't mind all the foolish people who get jealous when you say things. But you know something? If they do not bring you forward to sit down, I've communicated with other brilliant academics. You expect them to go somewhere? Where they can go? That's where the country's struggling. Because you're shutting out a section of your people because they didn't go and get 20 certificates. And a lot of 20 certificates, that's all they got, 20 certificates. Mr. Johnson, they call
my. You have a good day, brother Nasser. You know. Anyway, Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, Mr. Johnson. I was waiting a bit of time, so we only have about 6-7 minutes?
We got about 7 minutes, I think. Okay, a little over that. Let's try.
Right. What I want to say, well, is that this morning you started out on a topic, and I noticed that many people...
Nobody touched it. They won't touch it.
There's a term in English called under judgment. You know the Latin version of that? Sub judice, or judicare. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, things are not happening here we can talk about quite freely. But what I am noticing, the changing attitudes of Barbadians, that you started out your program this morning, and nobody seemed to have talked about that subject, which goes into the subject of morality, what is happening to our country. You'll probably get more discussion about the crop work, which is quite good, and so on. I'm a little appalled at that because I come from the old school, and before when certain things happen, people would want to engage on that because these are things that can destroy the good name of the Barbados that I know. You know what I'm speaking about.
Yeah, but sir, the problem is that social media now allow people to anonymously make scathing comments without the restrictions placed on them by radio. So they take to social media and make comments, true or untrue, use as many expletives and obscenities as they want, and they're quite content to do that. Unfortunately, what it says to me is that we can no longer express our displeasure or speak on a subject in a manner that does not contravene the restrictions placed on radio. And that's unfortunate.
Now, what I was also mentioned sometime last week, I don't know if you heard, but I was referring to the fact that once an election is finished, we expect that our leaders would not get the exposure they normally would get if they are at the helm. Mm-hmm. But it was noticeable that all leaders seem to have vanished from the scene. And the recent events would tell me that there might have been good reason for that. I'm really appalled at what I saw written in the paper by and people from abroad expressing their opinions about what is happening in this country, Barbados. And the fact that you have a program today, and the Barbadians are not, you know, the local stuff, we may not be able to speak about it because, as we said at the beginning of this conversation, it's under judgment. But what happens outside, we can easily talk about that. And I'm surprised that Barbadians, they claim to be such a Christian or a religious country, they don't seem to show any interest in those things at all. We recognize that a person is innocent till proven guilty.
Presumed innocent. I don't know why we leave out that word.
Right, that's
the
right.
Presumption of innocence is what's based on, yeah.
Yeah.
Presumed.
What bothers me too, what is bothering me more than what has happened over there in the United States is, are there other instances of these? Have other countries picked up on these things? And are we expecting to have more of these things that are going to destroy the good name of our country? And that is why last week, when I thought about people going into hiding or whatever, I might have been out of place, and I would admit.
So the thing is, it's not being out of place. Let me try to put this in a particular context for you. The challenge for radio is what people call the juxtapositioning of comments or innuendo. So if you make a comment, let's say about child pornography, and then follow it up by saying, Dennis Johnson seems to be in hiding. The juxtapositioning of child pornography and the mentioning of my name would make people assume that you're saying that I've gone into hiding because of my involvement in child pornography. So because of that, you would, the moderator or the producer would bring his thumb down on the button. So it is a question of how the comment is made and what is aligned either before or after it that causes the difficulty. It is unfortunate, but that is what happens. You find, I remember there was one case where I was the moderator, actually, so I remember it well. A gentleman called to talk about a problem he had, and he made mention of the big chief. And somebody got five different people to write to the station and say that the big chief referred to them. And the station was sued. Now, the producer got wrapped on the knuckles because he said that the producer should have cut me. But I couldn't see how somebody saying the big chief would have been referred to X. It could have been the big chief in agriculture. It could have been the big chief in, you know, transport. It could have been the big chief in the prime minister. But in the context of what the person was talking about, a particular individual said, or got people to say that they thought the big chief referred to him, showed him in a negative light, and therefore he sued. That's what we live with, sir. The Lunchtime Edition. And more of your calls. We go to one on this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Stay with us. You can also reach us via WhatsApp, 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Good afternoon.
Hello, Mr.
Yes, sir. You're with me. Go right ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, there was something circulating on social media yesterday. It was supported to have been coming from somebody who was a member of the Supreme Court of Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes, Herbert Volney.
And also a cabinet, member.
Mm-hmm.
That person seemed to believe that the airport, the building, the terminal building at Grandy Adams Airport, was built by some loan given by Dr. Eric Williams to the Barbados government. Now, you have in your possession a book, and I would like you to refer to page 199, which clearly identifies the source of the loan, the initial loan of $20 million, as our friend, the government of Canada. Of course, we seem to have deserted our country, but I think we should stay with them. They have done a lot for us, mm-hmm. and I think we, and this country should recognize that. That is one thing. The second thing, I heard about the visit of a United States president to St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
I speak in the correction, but was that the same president who took, there was a thriving banana industry in the islands, and because of the intervention of the U.S. government, the preferential treatment of geese was discontinued and more or less did considerable damage to the economies of those islands, you know, Dominica and
St. Vincent, St. Lucia, Grenada, yes. Windban, windban became a bad word, yes.
Then, and I also understand that intervention by our neighborhood country, well, I don't want to say bully, but also caused the rice industry in Haiti to go belly up also. I speak in the correction. Maybe you can check these facts. What I'm trying to say, when we were going to school, the weak ones were always being bullied by the strong ones. And this seems to have continued now up to the level where we have governments doing the same thing to smaller countries. And there's something that you've seen happen all around the world. And you know what? You heard this story about David and Goliath. I just hope that we don't have that backlash at some times. I'm really concerned what I see happen in the world of today.
So the truth is that the United States has always looked out for what it calls its economic well-being. So when Chiquita Bananas lobbied the U.S., for preferential treatment, and they claim that under the agreements done with Britain for bananas in the Caribbean, we had this, I don't know, unfair advantage, we lost out. When the Caribbean was seen as a threat to the United States because of certain regimes in the U.S., in the Caribbean, being more aligned to the left, as they called it then, with supporting Cuba and Nicaragua. There were supposed to be regimes in the Caribbean spreading communism through the Caribbean, and therefore the U.S. took an active interest in the Caribbean. And then, of course, the transshipment of drugs. Now they get a lot. They give a lot of support behind the scenes in some cases, sometimes with the use of Shipwright and other bits of legislation to actually be part and parcel of drug interdiction in the Caribbean. What happens, however, is that there is a very strong lobby in the U.S. for commercial interests, and the U.S. will always look out for its commercial interests. So the interests of the Caribbean in bananas and sometimes tourism and banking, international business, we're feeling the pinch because of laws enacted to protect other jurisdictions, Canada, the U.S., the U.K., and various places like that. And unfortunately, there's a brilliant essay written by Saron Sanders that I think should be read by just about everyone on how our way of approaching these things as individual states, looking out for ourselves as opposed to a collective, is making us lose the battle. There are too many areas where we should be collaborating in our efforts to fight the OECD and institutions like this, where we fragment and go one, you know, at a time in the hope that somebody would like us because we're nice.
And we fail. What I would like to say in parting, Mr. DJ, that the peoples in the Caribbean must remember Canada has always stood by us. And I don't think we should forget that. I notice that there's been a drift away from Canada, and I'm pleading to the Caribbean to get back to that country, which has helped us all through the war years and all through the years following. That's all I have to say.
Okay, sir. Have a good day. Have a good afternoon. Yeah. Always. Perhaps more people travel to the U.S. than Canada, but that is changing. I think there are lots of Bajans going to Canada to study and for various opportunities, and so perhaps another generation will bring those cultural traditions back into vogue. Brass Sax, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dennis.
Hi.
I noticed that you've survived any encounters with Mother Sally's.
I have a very strong constitution.
That is good. I'll try to be very skimpy. Skimpiness seems to be the order.
The order of the day.
So I will not be speaking to you with any 9 yards of material. Okay, with 9 yards of material, I could probably make 18 costumes, but nevertheless.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to me, Dennis. You know, every year we get the criticism, or if not criticism, you know, people do their analytical views on the on Masquerade right. In Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And I do listen, and some people do have some good points. But it is not easy to produce a band. I have not produced a band for a few years. I'm tempted to do it again, but I've not done it. So let me first of all send out congrats to all Masquerade band leaders, you know, who were able to be successful, even successful in bringing the bands on the road, even if they didn't win prizes. I think that we have evolved, and that's the thing that I need observers to recognize, that mass is about the people, and as people evolve, mass will evolve. The thing about being skimpy and women being, you know, hardly dressed, I have little or no problems with that. But I'll tell you this, the real issue is with lack of creativity.
Yeah.
Lack of creativity could be blamed, right, for the type of mass that we are seeing, In other words, as you become more creative in your concepts and in your portrayals, it would probably take you away from some of the costumes that we're seeing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing about it, one of your callers earlier spoke about creativity, right? Creativity in any environment, including Masquerade, is a risk. If you're running any type of business and you decide to step away from the market forces,
right,
it is a risk. Any business, think of any business. If you're doing landscape, if you're a landscaper, you decide to stay away from what is trending in the market, you're going to take a risk.
Right.
And in taking a risk, you have to have financial
capital
support. You have to have support. So in other words, any designer out there who is going to come and say, listen, I'm going to produce the most traditional, the most creative band, right? That is the risk. And yes, he needs support, financial support, right? And the market forces dictate who will get support and who will not. Mm-hmm. He also needs the support of people who are going to play mass.
Right.
And the people who are playing mass know, and what is trending is the type of costuming that we're seeing. There's a big contradiction. I see people playing concepts dealing with the sea and have feathers. But you know that masquerader, that band leader has a big decision to make.
Right.
And when he is going to market his product, he's marketing his product in an environment that feathers and beads.
What the people want?
That's what's selling. So I want people to recognize that. And I have strong belief in evolution and revolution, right? And I'm pretty sure that we will see some of the traditional masks that people are asking for inching it way back. And you know what? Where I have some proof about that, the title sponsors for masks, can I remember the bank, Republic Bank, I hope I have the right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When Cropover started, they made the comment that they would like to see traditional masks. And I'm pretty sure that you will see it, you ought to see it. But Dennis, I've been wrong long enough. And what I saw on Monday, yes, I have some issues with it. But the amount of participation that I'm seeing, the professionalism that has been brought to put in a band on the road, the servicing by the band leaders and the administrators in bands to service, not 50 people, right, but 450 and 1,050. Come on, we have to give credit to our band leaders.
Agreed with you. Let me ask you a question. 4 Day Morning and Grand Kadumat, your comments on what is emerging, because 4 Day Morning started as Mass and Mud, then it went to pretty dress up, swimsuits, and you know, and then it went back to Mud and Mass on the pretty dress up swimsuits. What's your feeling about the two of them?
But in terms of 4 Day, I think 4 Day needs to define, let's say the NCF needs to to have a clear definition of what they're hoping to achieve with 4D.
But isn't that also going to depend on market forces and what people want to do?
Yeah, but listen to me. If you notice, the market forces have already started to take 4D where it wants to take 4D.
Right.
We had five entities, and 5 years ago, or more than 5 years ago, when I promised that it would have been my last public speaking, last time I would speak publicly was at the station, when I indicated that 4D at that time had grown to a point, or was the indications that it was growing to a point where it was not logical to keep on the same trip, the same time, the same space, the amount of people it was growing out of it at that time, its current capacity.
Right.
We had five entities that opted not to come to 4D
and hold their own events
in Bridgetown. Market forces could dictate that next year it could be 10, right? So the NCF, therefore, would have to define what they want out of 4D, right? But all the time, whenever things are set, whenever things get settled, right, market forces has a definitely has a lot to do with it. In terms of pretty mass on 4D, I thought that they used a hammer.
A sledgehammer?
Yes. They went about it the wrong way. Fallen off by 10 bands. If you look, dealing with statistics, I think they moved from 47 to 37, right? But again, 4D needs to be defined. I've seen some band leaders, 4D band leaders, who have maintained their style, so I could recognize who is coming up when I look down the strip, down Port Authority. So some people are defining themselves. I think it is John Velassi.
Right, correct.
You know them. They've carved out a niche. And then there's the guys from down in St. James that wear blue.
Right.
So, yes, 4D is not my forte. But
you can see where it's going. I want to thank you for making the comments, Chris. It's good to hear you, and I dragged you out. Hope I drag you out some more at some point when we take a look at it. Perhaps it is time for us to have a total review of Crop Over, and perhaps you will lend your voice again whenever. You know, I don't like the term post-mortem because that's only happened when somebody die. You know, a review, yeah. It's like saying, you know. Anyway, there was a Calypsonian who had something about Smokes, I hope you're getting better, boy. You know, because it was buried at Farley Hill, he said. Anyway, thank you for taking part in the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Thanks to my producers, technical operators, Daddy Biggs and John Stout. Dennis Johnson on behalf of the team. Have a good afternoon.